This is Lori Prox of KBAK Radio with your local news. Well, Alaska's first marijuana shop opened right here in Valdez, and Michael Holcomb made the first legal purchase of retail marijuana in the state of Alaska. Herbal Outfitters opened to the public on Saturday. A new law raises Alaska fishing and hunting regulated fees beginning 2017. Fees for Alaska sport fishing, hunting, and trapping licenses and tags will increase beginning January 1st, 2017. The Alaska State Legislature raised the fees last session through the passage of House Bill 137, which received broad support from user groups. The new rates mark the first time in 24 years that hunting license and tag fees have increased, while sport fishing licenses last increased about 10 years ago. KVAK has a lot of cute pets on our Facebook page. That's our KVAK Pet Costume Contest. So go ahead and check those out. Also, our Instagram page, sign up to be a KVAK Instagram follower and Facebook as well. Did you know that Valdez Municipal Code requires all persons who trap within Valdez city limits to register with the Valdez Police Department? Well, the Valdez Animal Control Office is conducting a trapping safety class to facilitate the registration process for upcoming trapping season. At the time of registration, trappers must show proof of completion of an approved trapping safety class and possess a valid trapper's license issued by the state of Alaska. The required safety class will provide pertinent information on trapping safety and a map of areas within city limits where trapping is allowed or prohibited. You can contact Rich Long, R. Long at ci.valdez.ak.us or give him a call at 835-2286 for more information on that. KVAK Radio's winter travel forecast is starting, sponsored by Captain Joe's, so make sure you listen for that. We'll give you an accurate forecast of what's happening on the roads from Valdez up the Glen Highway into Anchorage and also on the Glen Highway from Valdez through Delta and into Fairbanks. City of Valdez is holding their budget discussion tonight from 6 to 9:30 p.m. The topic this evening, community service organizations. The final budget hearing is tomorrow, 6 to 9:30 p.m. The topic's event support and scheduling overflow, things that were missed in their other regular meetings. And this is just a little reminder to still be bear aware. Recent incidents involving bears in Seward, a dog walker was mauled Thursday and a brown bear sow and two cubs were shot last week by homeowners in a local subdivision. It's a wake-up call to many in South Central Alaska who believe bears have gone to sleep for the winter, but still be wary and be cautious if you're out there. And before we leave you today, I'd like to wish a happy birthday to Amber McCain. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have a wonderful Wednesday. KVAK Radio had an opportunity to sit down with Brian Carlson, City Finance Director, and City Manager Dennis Ragsdale to talk about progress on the City of Valdez 2017 budget. Here is that discussion. For folks who haven't been following budget, how is it going? This is your first budget cycle?
I think it's going really well. Everybody, every city, I think, does budgeting a little bit different, so it's been a lot of learning for me. Brian's been very helpful. And so far, I think it's been going really good. A lot of good interaction between the staff and the council, and they've made a few tweaks here and there and given us some areas they want us to work on in the future. So I think it's been real productive.
And it seems like there's been a lot of info or discussion on full-time employees. Because once you add an employee, that's a cost that you're going to incur year after year. And I think we determined there were 6 employees added last year. And tell us a little bit about the employees and what the job descriptions are for the folks that you want. You know, there are quite a few positions, and some of them have been renamed and revised.
Right. Okay, one of them is an economic development director. We have a consultant that works for the Community and Economic Development Department now, and this is just changing that from a consultant to a full-time city position. And the council has suggested they may want that to be an independent department with a director and separate it out from community development. We have a GIS, which is Geographic Information Systems.
How many information technology folks do you have now?
Five, I believe. Five funded.
Because that's a department's been growing. I mean, I think just a few years ago, that was one person.
Probably, I would not.
Yeah,
know that
less than
yet.
5 years ago, I think. Yeah. Definitely one person, a busy person.
Right.
But what? Why the need for five?
Well, the information technology is one of those areas that is, it's kind of behind the scenes and nobody knows everything they do all the time, but it's like the brain of the city. They connect all of our computers together and keep us functioning in the computer world, and it's just a.
So if someone were to look for job descriptions for these new positions, where would they find those? Those have to be posted, right?
And we'll develop these job descriptions. We'll take some.
Have you had job descriptions for those six that were hired? Were there
for the previous
written?
Six? I cannot answer that question without asking our HR director. Because some of those positions were not.
I think I've asked
hired.
For those, but I haven't.
Okay, they may not have been completely.
So, is it
finished.
Your intent to have job descriptions
for
that?
For the ones that we are going to hire, yes, definitely.
And do you have those now? You know, you're going to the council asking for these positions. I'm
well,
just wondering if you have. That.
No, we have the general idea what the person is going to accomplish, but we don't have a detailed job description for each one of these.
All right. Well, we'll keep moving
okay.
on.
Okay. So, but the GIS IT person. The Geographic Information System will be working on the behind the scenes GIS, getting the systems ready, and then every department will be able to use the GIS system in their own department. And planning is a heavy. Usually, they have a GIS technician as well. And then another one is a solid waste manager. This would be a person that would work at the landfill and help.
And I know a few years ago, I think a cutback or not an increase was linked to, you know, garbage pickup
right.
or something like that. We're not expanding services with any of these positions.
Not with this. Well,
not with that.
This one would. They're behind a little bit with their ability to manage the landfill. There's just too much work, and
we have
people.
We don't have more people. So why you know what's going on there?
Well, they reorganized a couple of years ago, and I think what has happened is just. That helped them get a little bit behind at the landfill, and they.
So it's not. This is not. You feel it's a full time position. It's not something you could get them just caught up to the workload that they had previous.
I don't think so. The public works director is sometimes out there doing the work himself because of it gets so far behind. So he's helping his crews, and he needs to be managing department. So, I think this is something that's really necessary. The next one is a building maintenance technician. One of the areas that we are definitely behind on is keeping up with our maintenance. So this was added.
And how many folks do you have in the building maintenance department?
We have I believe there's five building maintenance technicians, and there's some of them are one and some of them are two because of their experience. So this would add a sixth, and one of the real benefits of having six is a lot of jobs take two people crews, and so we could add a whole another two person crew for those types of jobs.
Well, and of course, if you're adding more people, more buildings, you're adding to the spending the city's going to have to do year after year.
Right, right. So the next two are in Parks and Rec, and one of them is an events coordinator. We have a lot of events going on in the city. And we need someone to help the logistics of the events and make sure that everything is running smooth and the equipment.
Now that should free up some departments. I know the Community and Economic Development Department has been very busy in organizing the 4th of July.
Right. There's a 0.3 per man year assigned to that, a person year assigned to that now. So that would go away with this position coming on. And then the other one is a facilities coordinator, which would help us use our facilities more.
So what is the job description there?
The facility, someone is just goes to the facility to make sure it's open and operating. So they might be at the rock wall, managing the rock wall, making sure that everything's going well there, or they might be at another facility.
Is that through Park and Rec?
Yes, it's Parks and Rec, yeah. So that's it.
All right. And some of the positions that were put into the budget last year have not been filled.
They won't be. They'll be transferred over to other to make up for some of these ones that we're adding. So it's just like.
So those are your positions that's it. That's all that the city's looking to add right there.
Right.
But there are some other requests in department budgets.
Well, not for
employees.
New. So we have a senior planner that's going to be filled in 2017. That was authorized in 2016. And in the middle of the year, in the middle of the budget, we made the human resource manager, the human resource director, and assigned an administrative assistant to that position. So there was that position is sharing an administrative assistant with the city manager. So there'll be a new administrative assistant coming on so that we'll each have an administrative assistant instead of sharing. And then the administrative assistant in IT has not been filled, information technology has not been filled all year. So with the new space that would accommodate that, we'll fill that position. And then the
Now, if we're talking about building a building, you know, we're talking about hiring people and we don't yet have job descriptions, nor do we have a place to put them. So is there a chance that, I mean, building a building in a year
It'll be short order to finish these, put these job descriptions. Like an administrative assistant, we have a job description for administrative assistant. And the senior planner, there's a job description already on the books for that. So there's a few of them, maintenance technician, they have job descriptions already. So there's just a couple of them that might not have a complete.
So your plan, you have a long-term plan, but you'll have to have an interim plan if you're hiring. Is this part of the plan when you're going to actually bring these folks on?
Well, yes, because we have to have space.
And
obviously.
It should be in the budget for a year, because year after year, once you hire a person.
Right, then it'll continue. It'll be a full-time staff person.
Bringing that budget.
Right. But there was one that we eliminated, and it was called the VIA director, and that was the housing authority that we never created, and we don't intend to create. So that position will go off.
And that was interim city manager, his baby.
Yes.
And so that's dead, effectively. And are we still hiring him as a consultant? I think we paid quite a bit of money to him after his.
No, we're not. We don't have any continuing work for him.
All right.
So that pretty much describes it.
And in general terms, overall, the budget for Valdez is increasing. So, you know, it was. I know when I spoke to you before, I had asked if there was any direction, you know, for the budget. Let's hold the line. And I talked to a lot of folks who say, "Well, we're in a budget crisis." Well, the state is in a budget crisis. Valdez is not in any such budget crisis. In fact, we have a ton of money because. The property tax from Alyeska comes, you know, 90 or 92%. That's our city budget. And that every time we go to court, we get a ruling for a little bit more money. So while they're actually maybe cutting across the bay, we're still spending and increasing spending. So can you address that? Why is Valdez continuing to increase spending when our economy is definitely not increasing and our population is definitely not?
Well, obviously, some of it is the budget, and some of it is catch up.
And to be fair, this is not your.
There's some catching up to do with some deferred maintenance that is going to cost some money, and there's some needs that haven't been fulfilled for quite some time, and that we need to catch up on. The fire station is one. We're either going to have to do a major renovation to that building, or to build a new building that accommodates.
Well, and these are different because there is a difference between, you know, once we talked about adding employees, and I know previous councils have been very concerned about adding employees because that's adding to your operating budget year after year. In 2012, Valdez's city budget was $34 million for 4,000 people, which is not too shabby. And then this year, our proposed budget at this point, after they've gone through it, is about it's close to $45 million. So that's in the space of 5 years where we haven't really had any kind of, you know, major population. We haven't had a lot of, you know, in most places you would build because you've got a tax base and you have more people paying more taxes. But here it's really one single entity taking care of the lion's right. share of the taxes, and our operations budget. So that's not capital improvements, that's not one-time things, that's the operations of the city of Valdez is gone from $34 million to $45 million. And you're not, of course, this year it's just gone up, we're not sure yet, but a couple million from last year. So, you know, surely you weren't here for all of that increase, right. But definitely the trend of increasing in the percent is pretty good this year. Yeah.
And the council is concerned about that, and they've asked us to moderate that and to be careful about that in the future as far as new employees. New employees are add the most long-term forever expense to the
And so the state got into this budget crisis by increasing their budget, and then the budget gets cut, and then you know, we keep spending at the levels, these high levels. So we're not at the point, but we know that the value of the oil is going down. So how do you address that?
Well, the council asked us to work on five major goals that they have, and then the departments have their own individual goals. So this coming up year, we're going to start working early on new or revised goals and a five-year capital improvement plan and kind of track where we're going and try to do things economically that will add income to the community as we move into these capital improvements.
But we're talking probably chump change, because you get one small business that is going to pay you property tax, and it's, you know, it's pennies in the bucket. You're not...
That's right. It's but you every little they all add up.
You have to build some sort of other infrastructure,
right? So, and then you know, use care and adding employees. We will look at contractual services where we can, and try to accomplish.
How long do you think we can maintain this type of spending?
Well, Brian might want to talk about it, but we
I think I guess that makes it tough. That's kind of like predict. I mean, because we have one income source, so how. It's kind of predicting how long.
Sure. Okay. Sure. I don't think that's quite the right question, frankly. I think some of the premises there are a little faulty. What we're seeing here over a six-year span is a common occurrence in my observation in the public sector, in that new projects come online and there's not enough of an analysis done about how the new capital expenditures drive operations in future years. New facilities have to be staffed. Most importantly, they have to be maintained. And these things drive operational costs from one year to the next. The city of Valdez has a significant amount of capital and infrastructure that for which maintenance has been significantly deferred. And so if you consider that factor, plus the demand for a great many new initiatives, plus the ongoing demand from the community via whether it's the school or the many CSO organizations, all of these things are converging at a time when the city doesn't have the manpower to basically play catch up. And so I think what you must expect is that operational spending is going to have to increase, and or the demands placed on the entity are going to have to decrease. But we're at a point now where we are already lashed to things already built and things already in the ground. And for example, all of the water and sewer infrastructure is 40 or maybe going on 50 years old. We're already committed to that. And there will be significant outlay just to keep that complex infrastructure functional for the existing population. So to circle back to the beginning, city population is not the only driver of these budgets. The budgets often reflect these other complex factors that were not built into the original model. And so there's going to be a period where we have to play catch up, and fortunately we have the resources to play catch up. I will add to that that to get the work done, you have to have human resources. And in a very limited analysis, additions to staff drive budgets forevermore. But that's not really how it plays out as a practical matter, because people come and go, and there's always the opportunity for attrition. And the turnover rate within the city annually, I don't know that I can put a number on it, but dollar-wise, it amounts to about 10% of what we budget for personnel. So somewhere in there is a vacancy factor that impacts budgets, and most importantly, it creates space for management to adjust the picture over time. So I took the scenic route there, but an easier way to say that is, while we have if we might have a limited period with significantly increased demand for services and work, and as that period tapers off, through vacancy and attrition, we will have an opportunity to dial it back and to let the thing breathe according to the demands placed on the entity.
All right, and that's a good point. This is not people saying, hey, we just want more. There are, I think the general public has placed a ton of demands on the city. You know, they expect the city to answer every question and be responsible for everything. And that's really not city employees' job to even be involved in what that is, what the requests are, or accepting those. That's more of a city council role in accepting those. And when you have a lot of money, it's really hard not to accept those. But you brought up a very exciting point, and that is what we have not done in these years is get our systems. We were talking about electricity the other day. You know, what can we do to have really good electricity so that people don't have to come here to start their own business and buy generators? So how could the city invest in that infrastructure, even within your own departments? You know, if you get into facilities that make sense, that are take less energy, you know, in the long run, we can be building facilities that will save. So what are the opportunities there for us to build infrastructure? You know, what are some of those short-term, long-term things that we can do to kind of spend the money we have now, but spend it in a fashion that will be responsible for the future?
Well, one of the things we're embarking on right now is a really strategic, comprehensive, long-range plan. And I know there's been a lot of activity in the past here in that area, and we're using that the previous studies to kind of bring it together and that way we can evaluate what our potential future land uses are on different locations.
And how do you bring that? Because most of those studies, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but have been a pie in the sky.
Yes, they have.
You know, I want this, and it with no regard to expenses. So that's where the real work comes in.
And that will be part of it. And these are going to be community-driven reports and studies. There'll be a lot of community involvement about what we really want and some prioritization. And then cost factors and then funding factors.
Do these new positions, you know, how do you integrate those? Who's responsible for?
Well, different departments will, you know, depending on where they fit, will be responsible for the positions. If the, for instance, if the economic development position is a director, then that will fall under the city manager. So that's because the directors fall under city manager. And the GIS IT person will fall under IT. So they will be distributed through the departments.
Do you expect the economic development department to take the lead in kind of looking for these type of opportunities?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Okay, that's the driving force. And you're saying that right now that the suggestion is that won't be under community and economic development.
Yeah, right. Well, those will be separated. I mean, that was discussion. I won't say that's the predominant.
Is that your decision
viewpoint.
Or council's
decision?
No, that decision?
Council would make that decision because they're adding the position into the budget.
They can add the position, but you could do whatever you want with departments, or I don't know how that works.
Well, there's some flexibility that the city manager has with the staff structure. But if the council's, if we're going through a budget session and adding a position and the council's saying they want this at a director level, the city manager is going to follow that direction.
And I feel like also there's opportunities, you know, we keep talking about playing catch up, but we have an equipment list that's kind of out in years, but we don't have capital improvement. So maybe Brian could speak to that, putting together more of a capital improvement, not only because the city budget not only includes 30% of that budget is the Valdez City schools, and then also community service organizations and different organizations that we do.
Right.
So, you know, the lines are not always clear. There's some maintenance and services going back and forth, but looking forward on capital improvements, we're, you know, we own the hospital building and rent it, and we own various things and work with the museum or community service organizations or what have you. So where do you see, I know you had plans for the capital, you know, capital improvements, how do you say, record keeping or planning, I guess is probably a better word.
Right. So a number of us at the director level and under the under Dennis's leadership are working to change somewhat the way the city has annually budgeted for and prioritized what we call capital improvement projects and also major maintenance projects. And those, from a lay perspective, are they're very similar. The distinction is has to do with the price tag of the underlying project. But for the sake of this conversation, let's just call those capital projects. And in prior years, this was an annual process, and it took place mid-year once the city learned of its actual tax revenue, because as you know, we would budget it annually without even knowing what our revenue figure would be.
So we're good for 5 years, right? On the projected income for, I think, the
Yes, we're good through tax year 2020. So 16 is the first of a five-year settlement. So the capital planning process would happen at mid-year, and it would enable the various project leaders within the city to queue up their contracting for the following year's construction season, because you need a fair amount of lead time on that to achieve efficient contracting. And though that project worked, or that process worked well from 1 year to the next, it was a very limited horizon in that the planning process would only happen 1 year, and that would happen against a backdrop of staff turnover, council turnover, and also a project timeline that often was longer than 1 year. And so what we're working on right now, and I think we'll have this rolled out in the early spring, is my optimistic timeline, is a multi-year capital schedule. Commonly what you do with this is you make a six-year schedule, and every year is year one. And so it brings great efficiency to the prioritization, to the ability to finance all the many projects, to put your reserves in order. It ought to bring great efficiency to the whole process, and most importantly, it'll bring great clarity to the vast number and scope of these projects, and also the efforts needed to make sure they're properly funded.
It would make the council's job easier,
yes,
too, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And then you have to not only continuity with the staff, but with there's council turnover every year. There's new folks on the council, and they have to come into this. And it's a $45 million budget. Mm-hmm. That's a lot going on. So, I'd be interested when you get that together to kind of look through and share that, maybe that document through our e-news with the public.
Great. I'd be glad to.
All right. Well, we're kind of running out of time here. So, thank you for coming in, and, maybe we can meet up again after the budget. The dates, I think the 22nd is going to be the last public hearing on the budget, and then I believe December 6th is the slated date for adoption of the 2017 city budget. So folks can go to the meetings one Wednesday, Thursday night this week, and then, of course, they can meet with council members or staff at their own leisure and have their two cents.